Let's read again John chapter 1 verse 29, which will be our text for this morning's message. John chapter 1 verse 29. The next day, John, that is John the Baptist, sees Jesus coming unto him and says, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh or takes away the sin of the world." And thus far the reading of God's holy, infallible word. Boys and girls, in Matthew chapter 14, the disciples were in the boat out in the lake without Jesus. Eventually, Jesus went out to them walking on the water. When the disciples saw Jesus walking on the lake, they were terrified. They were afraid. They thought Jesus was a ghost. But Jesus assured them right away, "It is I. Don't be afraid." When Peter heard this, he said to Jesus, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." So Jesus said, "Come, come, Peter." Peter got down out of the boat and started walking on the water toward Jesus with his eyes fixed on Christ. But when Peter saw the wind, he was afraid and he began to sink. He began to sink the moment he looked away from Jesus. Now, this story illustrates the importance of having our eyes fixed on Jesus. And that's why our theme in this message is, "Behold, see the Lamb of God." And with God's help, what we're going to do in this message is look at two things about this passage or verse. First, we're going to look at the characteristics of this Lamb. And second, the command to behold this Lamb. So first, let's consider the characteristics of this Lamb, and we see three noticeable characteristics. Here's the first one. This Lamb that we find in our text in John 1 verse 29 is a gracious provision from God. Now, notice what John the Baptist says. "Behold the Lamb of God." Of God. And in Greek, that's genitive, which means it expresses possession. This Lamb belongs to God, not to us. This Lamb is not ours. This is the Lamb of God. This Lamb comes from God. John the Baptist does not say, "Behold my Lamb," but "Behold the Lamb of God," because it is God who has provided this Lamb. Now, if you recall in Genesis chapter 22, Isaac spoke to Abraham, his father, and said, "My father." And Abraham said, "Here I am, my son." Then Isaac said, "Look, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? Where is the lamb?" And Abraham said, "My son, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering." And he did. Thus we read in Genesis 22 verse 13, "So Abraham went and took the ram." What is a ram, boys and girls? An adult male sheep. So Abraham went and took that ram, which the Lord had provided, and offered it up for a burnt offering instead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place, "The Lord will provide," or in Hebrew, Jehovah Jireh. You see, our God, the God that we see in John 1:29 is the Jehovah Jireh God, the God who provides. He has provided us this lamb, slain for our sin, killed in our place. And really, every sinner must be asking this question that Isaac asked. Where is the lamb to be sacrificed in my place? Where is it? And we find the answer in our text. Behold the Lamb of God. This is the Lamb of God. Romans 8:32 says, "He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all." Think about that. In Genesis, Isaac was spared. Abraham was about to kill his own son, his only son. But God said, "Don't kill him. Instead, I have provided a substitute. Look, there is a ram over there. Kill that animal in place of your son." But on the cross of Calvary, God the Father did not spare His only begotten Son. He bruised Him according to Prophet Isaiah. Yes, He killed His own Son for you and for me, believers in Christ. Jesus became our substitute. Behold the Lamb of God. And here's the beauty of the gospel. Yes, this Lamb is the Lamb of God. But in the gospel, this Lamb, slain for our sin, can be ours. Jesus, the Lamb of God, can be ours by faith in Him. And you cannot steal this lamb, because this lamb is being offered so freely to all sinners. And if it is offered, how can you call it a steal? No. It's a gift, a gracious provision. Take the Lamb of God. And when you do so, you will not have to die, because you have your substitute in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. So first, this Lamb is a gracious provision from God. Second, this Lamb that we see in our text is the only provision from God or of God. Notice again what John the Beloved says. Behold, a Lamb of God? No. Not a Lamb of God, but the Lamb of God. As you know, there are two kinds of article. You have the indefinite article, a, and the definite article, the. The indefinite article suggests that there are other lambs other than this one. But with the definite article, it seals the deal, as it were. John the Baptist is telling us, there is no other lamb like this. This is unique. This is the only Lamb of God that can take away our sin. This is the innocent Lamb killed for our sin. This is the Lamb of which Prophet Isaiah talks about in Isaiah 53. He was oppressed And he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, as a sheep before its shearers is silent. So he opened not his mouth. Yes, boys and girls, when you read the Old Testament, you will read a lot of lambs sacrificed for sin. But all those lambs were only types of this lamb that we have in John 1:29. All those lambs pointed to this one, the Lamb of God. Behold the Lamb of God. You see, Jesus is the sum of all the animal sacrifices in the Old Testament. This is the one that can take away our sin. The lambs, all the animals that we see in the Old Testament, they had no power to cleanse us from our sin. They were not efficacious, which means they could not atone for our sin. They had no power to free and cleanse us from sin. But this Lamb, the Lamb, this is the one that can cleanse you from all your sins. The author of Hebrews puts it this way in Hebrews 10 verse 11. And every priest stands ministering daily and offering repeatedly the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. But this one that we have in our text, this Lamb of God, can cleanse you from all your sins. And that will lead me to my third observation about the characteristic of this Lamb. The only Lamb with power to take away sins. Again, read this verse, and I will read it repeatedly. So beautiful, so glorious and wonderful. Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Now, by the way, the verb take away in this passage has rich meaning. In fact, it is actually participle. Now, when you say participle, it describes the lamb. It describes the lamb. So literally, our text should read this way. Behold the Lamb of God taking away the sin of the world. Taking away. Now, it's only one word in the original, and it's Aaron. Aaron sounds like the name Aaron. And that word Aaron is used at least three times in the New Testament to really give us a holistic, a whole understanding of what this Lamb does for us. Now, first, because the question is this, behold the Lamb of God taking away the sin of the world. The question is how? How does this Lamb take away the sin of the world? How? Well, first of all, by lifting our sin. By lifting our sin. Because that verb, aaron, has the idea of lifting or carrying it away. And in this context, sin is understood as a burden, too heavy for us to carry. Sin is a weight that drags us down. And maybe you have that weight right now on your back. You have that sin, and that sin will only push you down. And maybe a reason for you not to come to the Lord's table, maybe you really want to come to the Lord's table this morning, but there is that sin weighing you down, too heavy for you to lift. Well, we have the Lamb of God who is able to lift it. Remember, Christian, in the Pilgrim's Progress, before he came to the cross of Jesus, he had the load on his back. But when he came up, to the cross, when he saw the Lamb of God, that burden loosed from off his shoulders and it fell from off his back, what was the result? Peace, rest, joy. Maybe you have that burden right now. Behold the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world. Now, that verb, aron, has also the idea of pushing it or rolling it over. And actually, it is used, or we see that picture in John chapter 11, verse 39. Now remember the story, Lazarus was dead. And he had been dead for 4 days. He was now in the tomb. That tomb was a cave with a big stone covering the entrance. Jesus came to that tomb, to that cave. But there was a stone that divided the two. What did Jesus say? John 11:39, Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Same verb, take away. Take away that hindrance, that obstacle, because I want to see Lazarus. I want to be with Lazarus, my friend. Now, sin is like that stone. It blocks us from God. It covers the entrance to God. And maybe right now, there is a big stone that blocks the Lord's table from you. You really want to come to the Lord's table, but you are struggling. There is that obstacle. There is that stone. Well, I have good news for you. Behold the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world. This is the Lamb that can roll over that big hindrance so that you may come freely and enjoy the meal that the Lord has prepared for those who believe in Him. Behold the Lamb of God. There is a hymn that says, "Oh, my heart is full of gladness, since by faith I saw the Lord, and the burden of my sins rolled away. There is a living hope within me, since I heard His pardoning word. Now the burden of my sin has rolled away, rolled away, rolled away. Now the burden of my sin has rolled away, rolled away, rolled away. Hallelujah. All my burdens rolled away. The stone is gone. There is no more division, separation between Lazarus and the Lord." Maybe right now there is a stone between, big stone of sin between you and the Lord. Behold the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world. And finally, that verb, aron. Yes, it has the idea of lifting and pushing it. Pushing that sin or rolling that sin away. But it also has the idea of erasing or cleansing our sin. In theology, we use the term expiation. This Lamb can expiate our sin because sin is like a stain that we cannot wash out. Sin has stained us with shame and guilt. And isn't it true? Whenever we sin, we feel that shame and guilt. And that shame will discourage us to come to God. That shame will discourage us, yes, to come to the Lord's table. You feel like undeserving. Lord, I cannot come to the Lord's table. I cannot join you. I cannot eat with you because of my shame and guilt, because of my sin. I have been stained by my sin. I'm so dirty, Lord. I'm not presentable. Well, I have good news for you. Behold the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world. He can cleanse you from all your sin. And David understood this. David committed adultery. He committed murder. But he understood this, that this Lamb could cleanse him from his sin. And so he prayed to God in Psalm 51, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions, wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin." Are you so ashamed of yourself because of what you did against the Lord, to the point that, no, I cannot come to the Lord's table? Well, behold the Lamb of God. Behold Jesus. He can cleanse you from all your iniquities. What can wash away my sin? Nothing. Absolutely nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Maybe you feel broken right now, broken by your own sin. And you're asking this question, what can make me whole again? I want to be whole again. I want to be restored back to the Lord. Well, the blood of Jesus can make you whole again, that you may be able to come to His table and enjoy this meal prepared, yes, for sinners, sinners saved by God's grace. And you know what's amazing too and encouraging? John the Baptist says, "Behold the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world." Present tense. Actually, in the original, it is present participle active. What does it mean? Well, that verb, that participle, taking away, emphasizes the present reality. That the Lamb of God, spoken of more than 2,000 years ago, when John the Baptist originally declared those words, the same Lamb of God in 2024, the same Lamb cleanses us from sin. He still does it. The Lord Jesus Christ is still willing to forgive sinners. It's not too late. Never too late for us to be forgiven. Come to Him. Behold the Lamb of God. And then John the Baptist adds, the sin, the offense, so definite as if there was only one sin, one offense of the world. Now, that expression of the world in the book of John is a technical expression, which means that what John the Baptist is saying, this Lamb, in contrast to the lambs that we see in the Old Testament, this Lamb is not just for the Jews. This Lamb is for all sinners, for all Gentiles. Because the sacrifices that we see in the Old Testament, they were offered on behalf of the people of Israel. But now John is saying, this Lamb is not just for the Jewish people, but for the Dutch people, Canadian people, Filipino, Korean, Colombian, Trinidadian, you name it, for all Gentiles. Behold the Lamb of God. And no one can say, well, that Lamb is not for me. No, you're part of that word, world. Behold the Lamb of God. Now, let's consider the second point here, which is the command to behold the Lamb. The command. Now, That verb, behold, is imperative. When John the Baptist says, behold, he's not giving you an option. It's not an option for sinners to behold or not behold the Lamb of God. We are all commanded to behold Jesus, the Lamb of God. And really, by that word, behold, John is calling the attention of his audience. And the original audience, as you know, was a group of Pharisees, priests, Jews. Behold! Listen! Listen! I'm about to tell you something that you have never heard before. It's like, boys and girls, when you're going to unveil, let's say, a statue or something remarkably gorgeously important. I'm going to unveil this. You say, behold! Behold! This has never been seen before. Because this is the first time that we hear Jesus called the Lamb of God in the New Testament. And you could imagine the original audience upon hearing that. What? What are you talking about? Yes, behold, this one, this Jesus is the one to which all the sacrifices pointed. This is the one. Behold the Lamb of God. Now, John does not say, behold me. Behold the speaker. No. And I pray that you do the same this morning. Please don't behold me. You will be discouraged if you look at me. Behold the Lamb of God. Listen. Behold the Lamb of God. Not behold your sin either. John does not say, behold your sin. No. You don't focus on your sin. Yes, we look at our sin, we repent of our sin, but you don't dwell on your sin. You don't behold, you don't gaze upon your sin. If you do that, you will sink like what happened to Peter. You will not come to the Lord's table. If we all behold our sin and shame and guilt, no one can come to the Lord's table. But as you come to the Lord's table, you come like a horse with blinders. With eyes fixed on the Lamb of God. I come just as I am. Now, John does not say either, behold the world, or behold other sinners. You don't look at your spouse, the person right next to you. When you come to the Lord's table, you don't look behind or look beside. You come beholding the Lamb of God. Like at the wedding, as soon as the bride enters the sanctuary, The groom, his eyes are fixed on his bride. That's what we do. When we come to the Lord's table, we do the same. We come beholding the Lamb of God. And John the Baptist does not say either, behold yourself. You don't behold yourself. Again, it's good. We do that. We have self-examination, but you don't focus on yourself. If I keep looking at myself, I'm not going to stand here. Find someone else to preach here. Find someone else to shepherd you, to pastor you. I behold the Lamb of God. You do the same. Robert Murray McShane once said, for every look at yourself, take 10 looks at Christ. Behold the Lamb of God. Now, as I end this message, I'll give you two examples from the Bible two groups of people. People who missed the Lamb of God. First, Pilate. Remember what Pilate said to the crowd on the day Jesus died. He said to the crowd, he said to the Jews in John 19, verse 5, "Behold the man! Behold the man!" And then in verse 14, he adds, "Behold your king!" Isn't it fascinating? Pilate said, "Behold your king." Why your king? Not our king or my king. Because he's not willing to submit to Jesus. He's not my king. And so ironically, here is Jesus standing in front of Pilate. And yet Pilate has missed Jesus. Why? Because of his pride and because of his fear of the people. This morning, Jesus is standing before you in the gospel. Are you seeing him? Or maybe you're missing him because of your own pride and maybe because of your fear of others. Maybe you don't want to come to the Lord's table, for instance, because you're afraid what might others say about you, or even what might Satan say about you. How dare you come to the Lord's table? Look at yourself. Fear. Pilate missed Jesus. He said, "Behold the man, behold your king." But he did not behold this man, this king, this Lamb of God. Another example, the Pharisees in Matthew chapter 12. It was Sabbath day, and the disciples of Jesus were hungry. And so they began to pluck the ears of corn to eat. But we read in verse 2, Matthew 12 verse 2, when the Pharisees saw it, that is, when they saw the plucking of the ears of corn, they said unto Jesus, "Behold, behold, thy disciples do that which is not lawful to do upon the Lord's or upon the Sabbath day." Again, Jesus was standing so close to the Pharisees. But they missed Jesus. Why? Because of their critical and legalistic spirit. Note, Matthew 12 verse 2 says, they saw it. They saw the plucking of the ears of corn, but they did not see Jesus. How ironic that was. The Pharisees, they were consumed with this one thing, the plucking of the ears of corn. Look, Jesus, your disciples did it. They were so focused on that one thing that they missed Jesus. Maybe this morning you have the same problem. You are focusing, as it were, on that one thing, the plucking of the ears of corn. You are so consumed with that one, you call it a mistake, a weakness, that you end up missing the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. Charles Spurgeon shared this story. Charles Spurgeon, known as the Prince of Preachers, wrote, in 1857, he said, so these are his own words. Spurgeon said, in 1857, a day or two before preaching at the Crystal Palace, I went to decide where the platform should be fixed. And in order to test the acoustic properties of the building, cried in a loud voice, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." In one of the galleries, a workman who knew nothing of what was being done heard the words, and the words of John 1:29 came like a message from heaven to his soul. He was smitten with conviction on account of sin, put down his tools, went home, and there, after a season of spiritual struggling, found peace and life by beholding the Lamb of God. This workman was converted, and the Lord used the simple reading, the simple declaration or recitation of this text, "Behold the Lamb of God." Spurgeon did not even expound it. Of course, he had no idea that there was someone listening to him. But you see, John 1:29 is so powerful that a plain reading of it can transform you by the power of the Holy Spirit. The workman saw Christ in the words of John 1:29. Now, you may not like how the gospel has been presented to you this morning. You may not appreciate the way Christ has been proclaimed to you in this message. And provided that is true, you can set aside temporarily what has been preached to you in the past 30 minutes. But I want you to hear these words again. And I will read it again. John 1:29. "Behold the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world." Did you hear those words? Do you see Jesus in those words? Can you say with John in verse 14, if you read John 1 verse 14, look at 1 verse 14. Can you say this sincerely in your heart as I end this message? John 1:14. "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace, full of truth." Can you say that this morning? "I beheld His glory this morning. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace, full of mercy, full of love, full of truth." Or again, maybe you have been so consumed with the plucking of the ears of corn that all that you see this morning is that one thing, and you're now dismissing everything about the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you don't see Jesus, if you have not yet beheld His glory, I urge you, pray to the Holy Spirit. Ask the Holy Spirit to open your blind eyes. Say, "Open my eyes that I may see. Open my eyes. Illumine me, Spirit divine." And of course, a sinner who has beheld the glory and beauty of Christ will have a transformed, changed heart. How do we know that? Well, that's what we see. In John chapter 1, look at verse 35. Look at the impact of the simple recitation of the words, "Behold the Lamb of God." Look at verse 35. John 1, verse 35. "Again, the next day after John stood, and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he says again, Behold the Lamb of God." And this time, it's abbreviated. Just "Behold the Lamb of God." What happened? Verse 37. "And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus." He who truly sees Jesus will follow Jesus. And right now, Jesus, in this sacrament of the Lord's Supper, is calling you. It's not just an invitation. Come, come. Have you not beheld my glory? Come, join me. Don't look at others. Don't look at yourself. Don't look at your sin. Behold the Lamb of God. When you do that, you follow Him. You come to Him. Let us pray. Lord, thank You. Thank You for John 1:29. Use it, Lord, to draw us closer to You, even to Your table. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.